Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, book lovers. Want to hear a story? So welcome back to Storytime with Em. This is the mini episode from Em's Books and Cats podcast. And today we are going to be reading chapter 5 of Feelers. Chapter 4 ended with Jane being moved to the basement of Silent Trees Wellness Center, and she reveals her first experience with a blackout from her feelings and her forbidden love of drawing. Chapter 5. After some searching through the blinding light, I found the bed, also plush and luxurious, and laid down to try to sleep. The light burned my eyes. Closing them didn't help. It just made the ache a little less. I have no idea how long I laid there. It felt like days. The bed was comfortable, though, and if I covered my head with my pillow, I found I was able to sleep in small fits. I moved around in my sleep, and when my face became uncovered, I would pop awake to the blinding golden light. The light dimmed a little at the edges, where I assumed the walls to be. The brightest part was in the center of the room. If I made myself stare at it, I could see the swirling golden ball in the middle of everything. I couldn't look at it for long. It made my vision go dim and blurry. I was afraid it would make me go blind. The thought of never seeing again terrified me. A loud banging on the door startled me from a short bout of sleep. A rectangle of darkness appeared in the light, and I stumbled toward it. It brought a burst of cool air into the hot, stifling room. I tripped in my haste to get to the soothing darkness, and the goggled attendants caught me as I fell through the doorway. They seemed to be the same two that had brought me here, blonde and brunette with no discernible features. They set me on my feet and steered me through the complete blackness. We stopped in front of another wall. I sensed it mere inches from my face. The ding of the elevator arriving did not startle me this time. I stepped into the stark light, flanked by my attendants. The blonde one punched one of the identical silver buttons. We rode in silence. The doors opened onto an ornate hallway tiled in pristine white and illuminated with small golden lights. My slippers scuffed as we walked down the long, softly lit hallway. An engraved wooden door swung open at the end of the hall, and a woman in a white lab coat stepped out. She had shoulder-length dark brown hair, and her face was pinched as if she struggled to hold something back. She smiled, and it wasn't any better. It was more that she just stretched her lips into the correct shape. There was no warmth in her eyes. "Hello, Jane," she said in a smooth, authoritative voice. "Follow me, please." She nodded to the two goggled attendants. There was the slightest twitch in her lip, a small sneer of disgust as she turned briskly and closed the door behind us. She moved quickly down another hallway and stopped at a door near the end. "Here you are, Jane," she said with another stretched smile. "Welcome to art therapy." She opened the door, and I stepped cautiously inside. I had no idea what art therapy meant, and I wasn't about to be ambushed. To my surprise, I found a room with tables and paper and more of the strange sticks I had stolen from my dad over the years. And kids. There were other kids scattered about the room, some standing at easels holding trays with bright blobs on them. Some were seated at tables and hunkered over papers covered with pictures. I turned to the woman in white, dumbfounded and speechless. The feeling in my heart was making me a little concerned, and I waited to see if this was just some horrible precursor to death, to see something I wanted so badly and never be able to touch it. The woman watched me with her same stretched smile. "Breathe, Jane. I don't want you to pass out." "What?" My raspy voice still wouldn't work properly. "Why?" The woman's smile looked even more forced. "Because you are incurable." She tapped on her tablet and opened a file. "Our main objective as citizens of this great nation is to maintain a steady level of happiness at all times. While HypTiz doesn't work for you the way it should, we have discovered something that works just as well." The woman looked up from her tablet. "You're an artist. Drawing makes you happy. Is this correct?" I nodded slowly, taking in the new words. "Artist." "I'm an artist?" "Yes." "Good. You will come here every day. You are free to create whatever you like, but it must be turned into me at the end of the session. No talking. Is that clear?" Again, I nod. My eyes dart around the room, taking everyone in. No one was looking at me. Except the woman in white. She looked impatient and annoyed behind her fake grin. Yes, I understand. Good. She pocketed her tablet and waved her hand at the room. Go on. Do what you need to do. I saw the disgust in her eyes as she turned to leave. The smile was gone immediately. She slammed the door hard enough to make the paintings on the walls shake. I stared at them for a moment. I had never seen anything so bold and bright. It was just random splashes of color, but they seemed so vibrant and alive. It made me feel strange. Could this be happiness? I get the feeling someone is watching me, and I turn to find a boy staring at me from a table across the room. He motions to an empty seat nearby with a slight flip of his long black hair. It immediately falls back down over his eyes. When I get closer, I see that they are deep blue, almost violet. He peers at me from behind his hair and smiles. I smile back tentatively. He nods to the paper on my table and turns back to his drawing. One last pointed look tells me what I need to know. There is a painting on the ceiling above us. A camera. They are always watching. I pick up a stick and examine it. Strangely, it causes a painful pang in my belly. I miss my dad. I roll it in my hands and notice a word has been written on the side in big, bold letters. Pencil. A girl passes by my table and slides a box over to me. Inside, I find a dozen pencils, all in various colors. Bright, vibrant colors, unlike any I've ever seen. My fingers itch at the sight of them. I select a pretty blue one from the box, and time disappears. When I come to, I have filled a large book with drawings. Strange things I have no name for. Creatures with fur and sharp claws. Strange plants. People I cannot name, but who seem strangely familiar. The woman in white appears moments later, and we line up at the door. I hand over my book. Others have piles of large pictures, which they deposit at the woman's feet. She seems more annoyed by this type of art. I need to remember to stick to the pencils. Goggled attendants wait to bring us to our rooms, two each. I get the same two, or at least I think they are the same. One blonde, one brunette. As they take my arms, I feel someone brush my hand and slip something into it. I close my fingers around what feels like a tiny slip of paper. My heart is pounding overtime as my attendants steer me to the elevator, and we step on with two others. The girl who gave me the colored pencils and a younger boy with freckles and glasses. They get off on the same floor as I do. I feel them moving away from me as we disappear into the complete darkness. I turn briefly before we lose the light from the elevator, and I see the girl looking back at me. I see just the glint of her eyes, and then she is gone. We rounded the corner into complete darkness, and I stumbled along beside the attendants until we reached my room. The light seemed even brighter than before. My head begins aching almost as soon as they lock the door behind me. And that is the end of Chapter 5 of Feelers. If you would like to read ahead, there is a link to the book in the show notes. If not, I will see you next week with Chapter 6. And thank you so much for listening to Storytime with Em. And until next time, keep reading.